And welcome to our service today. We're going to start off with a prelude that Nancy's playing for us. Thank you, Nancy. And I actually do not know who from our board is doing welcomes today. Does somebody know? It is Jeff. Excellent.
I don't think it's Jeff.
Whoever gets to the mic first is who it is.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Hope everybody can enjoy it. We plan to. And welcome. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Hendricks County. I'm Jeff Haverly, a member of your board. Sunday is that day when we gather together to deepen our spirituality and support each other in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning in our lives. If you are a visitor, we're delighted you are here. If you are interested in receiving further information, please fill out a visitor's card that can be found on either table in the front or the back, and just drop it in the collection plate, and we'll reach out just to maintain contact and welcome you. After service, please stay with us. We would love to get to know you. Whatever your faith, whatever your heritage, today you are a part of our religious community. We invite members, friends, and guests to share their... I was going to go to joys and concerns. Anyway. We keep up to date with announcements. Let's see what's in the order of service. Next Sunday, I'm looking forward to hearing from Bill Harrington. He was a member and has always been a supporter of our church, and he'll be the guest speaker next Sunday. And then it looks like we got on tap Bill Breeden, Warren Rosenberg, and Danielle Bell. And Natalie's been doing a super job lining up speakers. And any other announcements?
Yes, we have a lot of sessions with guest speakers upcoming for the next 4 weeks. However, in the few months after that, we have a lot of availability. So I'm putting a call out if anybody has another guest speaker they'd like to suggest, or as you know, we have several external speakers. We would love to get some slotted internal speakers if you had something you'd like to share about or bring up for discussion or bring to the church for us to do. So come see me if you have ideas for services.
Thank you, Natalie. Okay. Where's the script? In the spirit of fellowship and community, please take a moment to rise and greet those around you. Natalie, you can take it from here, right?
Okay, we have to change the end of yours. It says that one of the reasons you're playing the good thing at the end is to get rid of the bad days with Baby Shark. You can mention it and be like, you may remember, we're not going to play it. It was bad. It's okay. It was supposed to be bad. It was like 8 years ago. It was like 8 years ago. It shows how far you guys have come. No, it was only like 5, but still. It feels like forever.
Our chalice lighting today is to be a Unitarian Universalist. To be a Unitarian Universalist means we'll never be done with the work of telling the truth about oppression, the work of resisting any laws, policies, or practices that deny anyone their humanity, the work of stubbornly seeking out the spark of the divine in each other, no matter what, the work of creating heaven here on earth. To be a Unitarian Universalist also means we are not alone in the work. We are not alone because of our promises to love. Free, because none of us is truly free until we are all free. If you would like to rise in body or spirit and join me in the affirmation of our covenant here at the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Hendricks County, the words of which can be found in your bulletin. We proudly carry the flame of religious freedom. We respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. We encourage each other to spiritual growth that makes for peace, ethical living, and community service. This is our covenant. We have a little bit of a hodgepodge or a quilt of a service today. We're bringing together a few different messages as we celebrate Mother's Day, as we hold our final session discussing the proposed changes to Article 2, and as we celebrate the bridging of one of our community who is moving from teen to adult. I would note, originally, we were going to be focused more on the mothers and the bridging today, but then there was fun weather about 4 months ago, and we postponed our second Sundays, which means we're wrapping up here in May rather than April as planned. I'd like to take a moment and talk about mothers. Our reading, For All the Mothers, by Linda Susan Ulrich. For all the mothers and mother figures, the grandmothers, aunts, and extended family members who mother, the soon-to-be mothers, the wish they were mothers, the never-wanted-to-be mothers, the it's-complicated mothers, the birth mothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, the used-to-be dad mothers and more than one mom mothers, the single mothers, separated mothers, stay-at-home mothers, unhoused mothers, the grieving mothers, those who grieve their mothers, and those whose grief is complex, for all the communities out there that mother, and for all who depend on the great mother, you are held and beloved. I will say there is nothing more Mother's Day mothering than having your own child throwing a big fuss while you're trying to talk. So thank you, Logan, for this moment on Mother's Day. I will note, too, that the flowers that are up here, they're starting to wilt a little bit because I had them from earlier this week, but I would highly encourage, I'll grab out the scissors afterwards, and if anyone who self-identifies as someone who mothers would like to take a flower home, or you would like to cut one to take to someone else, or you just want one of the pretty flowers, please come up and take them. We'll be taking this apart when we're done here. If you would like to, then rise, embody your spirit, for our all sing For Baby For Bobby by John Denver, the words of which are in the insert in your bulletin.
There is an intro.
There is an intro?
Yes.
Okay. Will you let us know when to start? Because I do not know this one well enough to start it on my own.
I'll just start singing, but I won't continue singing.
Okay. So we'll pick it up.
And the wind blows, and the wind blows. Let's see if I can get it. Thank you.
A reading includes excerpts from our approach and conclusion in the Article 2 study report by the Article 2 Study Commission. From our approach, the main function of this article, Article 2, in our bylaws are legal and organizational. It defines who we are in a legal sense and sets up the parameters of the UUA as an organization. In that first phase of the process, it became clear to us that in addition to these main functions, which are required by any bylaws, there were many other functions that UUs expect it to fulfill. These include theological, helps us articulate our shared values in theology. Social, serves as a shared cultural touchstone. Educational, list concepts to teach and sources to draw from. Personal, serves as a personal code of ethics. Evangelical, a way to explain to others who we are and draw their interest. Rhetorical, used in public situations to define our beliefs or morality in legal or political context. This is a different set of functions than many organizations expect from their bylaws. We suspect that because we do not have a creed or a confession of faith, which other religions rely on to fill these roles, these functions have fallen to Article 2 as the closest analogy. And an excerpt from the conclusion of the Article 2 study report by the Article 2 Study Commission. We recognize the fact that the proposed version of Article 2 we have presented is indeed a significant departure from our current version, just as past changes to Article 2 were significant changes from their predecessors. The 1985 version, which first introduced the principles, was a radical change from the purposes and objectives of the previous version. We are continuing in that line of proposing changes that fit the times in which we live. We fully expect that one day another commission will review our work and significantly change it. We are writing this in pencil, not etching it in stone. From the very beginning, our goal was to listen to what Unitarian Universalists from all sectors of our faith communities felt and thought about the current Article 2, and what we should keep, what we should change, and what we should add. We knew we were not writing this for ourselves alone, but for our larger community. We also knew that we would never write something that everyone thought was perfect. Perfection was not the goal. We knew that no matter what we produced, there would be things people wished we had added, things people did not like, and things people appreciated. What we tried, and what we think we succeeded in doing, was to create an Article 2 that articulated our faith today and for the future. Whenever there is change, there is loss. And where there is loss, there is grief. We honor the fact that there is a loss in changing what has become so familiar to us. We were also mindful that we need not lose everything. You may have noticed that many of the words and themes of our current principles remain in the new Article 2, just in a new format. We are very grateful to all the people who engaged in the process of studying and revising Article 2. Your input was of great value to us and shaped the directions we took. We are also pleased that this process has begun a new dialogue within our communities about what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. We hope that this dialogue will continue and will result in a renewed commitment to our shared Unitarian Universalist faith. Welcome to the fourth and final of our four sessions exploring Article 2. As you may recall from the three times I've now said it before, the goal of these sessions is to offer an opportunity to truly explore the proposed revisions to Article 2, to think about it, to offer thoughts, and ask questions of ourselves and each other. If you would like a copy of the current and proposed changes to Article 2, there are extra copies of them over here. They are stapled together. The first page has current Article 2. The second and third page has proposed changes to Article 2. So you can see the difference between what is current and what is proposed to be adopted in June. My hope is that, as this series concludes today, that each of you may, one, understand a little better the why, how, and what of the proposed Article 2 revisions. And two, that you feel comfortable supporting individuals in this congregation in executing our part of the democratic process and voting on the revisions this coming June. Really, just a few weeks away now. For our fourth session, we have a really big topic at hand today, the shift from the seven principles to six values. And it is likely the biggest change that garners the strongest feelings from UUs across this country, including those within this room. For literal decades, and likely as long as most of us have been a part of the UU community, the principles have been our guide. They have been the way we've explained what Unitarian Universalism is to others. They have been the way we may have set our own expectations for ourselves within our faith, and the way we've set expectations within this very church community. I'm going to ask a few things of you today. I'm going to ask you first to not focus on which is easier. Is six really easier than seven? Are words or clauses or sentences easier to memorize? What we are more familiar with is always easier. So it serves no purpose to debate which is easier. If adopted, the proposed changes to Article 2 will not be easy to move forward with. They are not familiar to us yet. Familiarity is a process, and if adopted, we will grow familiar with the values, and with that will come ease. But we are not there yet. Secondly, I'm asking you today not to focus on your own memories of exploring, feeling, and living the seven principles. There is room for historical and personal understanding of the impact that these principles have made in shaping Unitarian Universalism, in shaping this church, and in shaping the individuals here today. And if you are ever interested in sharing your personal journey, we've had several members of our congregation do so in a My Journey in UU service. We would be honored to hear yours. And I am serious. I do need more internal speakers in the next few months if you would like to share your journey and what the principles have meant to you as you've gone through that journey. Thirdly, today, I would ask that we not go through the merits of each unique value of the six values. That is far too big an ask of our time here today. I would encourage you instead to consider them and discuss them with others outside of our service. Today after service, tomorrow, a week from now, whenever you would like to. If it is helpful for you, there are several discussion prompts that are listed in your bulletin for each of the values. So you'll see within there are each of the six values listed and discussion prompts that may help you as you consider those values. Instead, though, today I'm going to ask that we center on a really big question. What do you hope for the future of Unitarian Universalism? The proposed revision to Article 2 changes the trajectory of our religion. It is intended to change the trajectory of our religion. It is intended to take us someplace different from the path we are currently on. Where will we go? Where do you want us to go? As we have done before in these exploration services, I would like for you to find somebody with whom you can talk. And we're going to discuss this question. What do you hope for the future of Unitarian Universalism? Find a friend and take a few minutes to consider that question together. What do you hope for the future of Unitarian Universalism?
Yeah. so many people have religion, 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 religion,
religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion,
religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion, religion,
I'm going to bring us together if anybody would like to share with the whole group any part of your discussion. What do you hope for the future of Unitarian Universalism?
Well, Faye and I were just talking about how the social landscape in our country has changed so much and how this has contributed to people not attending church regularly or not identifying with the whole idea of a dogmatic religion anymore, and the pros and cons of all of that. But I would really like people to come to understand, to know the name UU, and come to understand what it really is, and know that if you are dissatisfied with your church experience in the past, this may very well be what you're looking for. And I would really like to see the name Unitarian Universalist on the tip of everybody's tongue in the nation, and to know that, you know, there's other things out there besides what you might have been raised with.
One of the things that Aiden and I were saying is that we see a lot of people that end up in UU churches because they were in a church where they had a religious trauma. And so it's something that many people come to the doors of a UU church
with baggage specifically from the religion. We got all kinds of other baggage too. You can bring all the baggage you want, family baggage and life baggage and all of that. But they bring religious trauma baggage with them. And it's something that I've been thinking about as we move forward, is that what I would hope for Unitarian Universalists moving forward is that we remain a place where it is safe to bring that, where it's safe to say, I was harmed in this religion, and to know that you will not be harmed here. And it can be a place of healing that you can get the things that you want from a religion and that feed you from a religion without having to accept the trauma that goes along with it. And for some people, it's hard. So a place where people can feel welcome to heal for that, and then, as I was telling Aiden, and then make good choices that they can make based off of how they want to interact with their religion on the other side of that. Anybody else? What do you hope for the future? Here, I'll go Kate, and then I'll swing back.
We were talking a little bit about, I was saying that I really appreciated that UUism is an ever-changing religion, and I hope that more changes like this will happen in the future. Who knows what they'll look like? But hope for the future that we'll continue to adapt to new realities, new values, new makeups of congregations that, we were talking about how geographically, determined that often is. So, large, small, diverse, not diverse. So that's what we were talking about.
Swing it back here to Jeff and then back to Julian.
I was just going to say, following up on earlier discussion, is that people do not walk the walk. In other words, they say they're this religion and rarely do I see anybody that's true to the beliefs of that religion, but they live with it, or, in simple terms, how can you be for such a president, ex-president, and not see the hypocrisy in supporting that? And I don't know how we get, that's a tough one to get people to change, so we might be out here on our island trying, but have little success. Thank you.
UUs are a good group of people to try things with, though.
So what we were talking about was essentially keeping up the sustainability of the church, not necessarily in our environmental focuses, but in the sustainability of the religion, the Unitarian Universalist religion, making sure that we are both still practicing what we preach while also not losing people and being able to stay stagnant or grow even.
This is not something that we were discussing, but it just occurred to me that this is something I've been thinking about a lot. And that is that when you come to church, you're there to learn about our world and the fact that there's a God of sorts, and everybody has a different definition of that. But to progress in something that you can hold on to when times are difficult and when times are good. To me, that I'm hoping that in the future that we will grasp what these contemporary spiritual people are telling us about where we need to go and what we need to do, and have an idea that consciousness is all there is, and we're all connected to that. So I'm hoping that's where we'll head.
Any other thoughts before we shift into our other question? Yes. You can borrow the question for the Chalice Circle group. If you'd like to stay with your current partner, you can, or if you would like to get up and move to another partner, I'd like to discuss then how can the values in the proposed revision to Article 2, the six values laid out for us, how can these values get us to that future of Unitarian Universalism that we want to have? How will they help us get there? What are their limitations? How can the six values, as they are laid out, and they are listed on that insert in case you don't remember the six, how can those get us to the Unitarian Universalism we want for our future? I'll give you a few minutes to discuss.
Thank you.
I'll bring the group back together for this question. I have a response here. Annie wrote, since she wasn't able to be with us, and I know if she was here and I asked if anybody wanted to share, she would raise her hand right away. So what she had to say about this topic, as most of you know, I'm a non-binary trans woman. My interest in non-binary dates to before my transition. What I have learned about binary systems is that they don't exist in nature. When we create them inappropriately, we limit our ability to be true to ourselves. The Article 2 decision has been often presented as a binary choice, the principles or the values, either or. But why not both and? Both the principles and the values. After all, they answer the same questions but from different perspectives. The principles help us see specific ways in which we should act in the world, starting with personal interactions and becoming more general as we go through them, until the seventh principle, which informs our relationship with the universe. This can be an excellent tool for dealing with a specific problem. But if you are dealing with a systemic issue, the values can guide your actions working with both the actors of the system and with those suffering under it. For instance, the value of interdependence tells you that you need to establish a relationship with those you are trying to help. And the value of transformation tells us to let those who are suffering lead, since people are only transformed by being the agent of change. The moral values of justice and equity can be used to try to influence people who are a part of the system. The principles are much more difficult to apply to a systemic problem. Since I already have the mic, I would comment on Annie's comments, and I can, but that I believe that the approach that they have tried to take with the revision to Article 2 was to be as inclusive as they could and to bring that and into it when you see much of the language and the intent of the principles reflected within the revisions, is that it is a hope that there is more opportunity for systemic change, both within UUA and within our nation moving forward. And now I will stop talking for Annie and for me and pass along to anybody who would like to add to that as we wrap up our conversation today.
Well, you can always count on me to have something to say. Faye and I were just talking about the difference between internal versus external ways of dealing with issues, and that kind of plays right into what you were saying. You know, one of them is kind of procedural, and the other is more reflective. You know, it comes from within us where we look at an issue and decide what is the best way to move forward on it, as opposed to, well, let's just look up the principle or the rule or whatever. And I think that when you have to do that, it is an exercise in personal growth. You know, when you have to sit back and actually reflect on what is the best approach to anything that is presented to you, instead of just looking up the rule and following it blindly and then letting the consequences or the outcome be fall on the design of the rule, whether it was well-crafted or not, as opposed to taking personal responsibility for the actions that you performed. And so you have to be much more mindful. You have to sit back and think about being the best version of yourself. You have to think about whether or not what you have to say or the action you would like to take is the best thing to do, and or whether or not the timing for it is the best as well. And so I think it really pushes us to grow as people much more when we look at values as opposed to principles, because as Annie was saying, one has more to do with external way of looking at and dealing with things, which doesn't always, I think, leave us, it can't cover every single scenario that's ever going to come up, you know, whereas mindfulness can cover an infinite number of possibilities, so.
Any other thoughts on how the values might take us to the Unitarian Universalism we want to see in the future, or how there might be limits to that work?
One of the things that I have considered as we've gone through this series the entire time is that I know I said in the intro not to focus on it, but I am reflective of the fact that my entire time spent engaging with the Unitarian Universalist Church has very much been rooted in the principles. When I look back and we did family sessions when my children were growing up, they were often themed directly on one of the principles. When we worked with my children as they branched out into the church and they did services, they were often themed on one of the principles. It was easy to look at those, to find an action and make a connection. I know that it will be different moving forward if Article 2 is accepted and becomes part of who Unitarian Universalists are. I look forward to exploring that together with this church community, though. Going through that exploration of the principles helped me get to where I am in my own religious journey. It's helped my children get to where they are. And I think that if we move forward, regardless of what happens in June, with that same intentionality, with that same curiosity, and with that same spirit of supporting each other, the exact way that we say we will in our covenant that we read every Sunday, I think this church is just going to do some great things. I would like to individually thank each of you for your participation, for the care and the wisdom that you have brought to these four sessions in which we have explored Article 2. Please know that this is not the end of the conversation. Continue it today, continue it tomorrow, continue it in June when GA is going on, and I hope that we continue it in many Sundays and other opportunities to come, both within this church and within all of the Unitarian Universalist congregations.
Natalie?
Yes?
If we had volunteers, would we represent us?
Yes. One of them's me, and I know that one. One of them is not me. And I do not remember who it is. Is somebody here? It's Liz. Aha. Okay, yes. We have two. We would be very happy to discuss with any of you leading up to GA. I've actually already put in time off because I'd like to be able to fully, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so I have that Thursday and Friday off so that I'm able to commit time to it. Very much looking forward to it. So we would be happy, Liz and I both, to continue any of the conversations with you leading up to and sharing before, after, and during. GA is fully virtual this year because they wanted to ensure equity of all congregations being able to participate, knowing that it's a very historic vote. You lose some of the element of being in person, which is sad because that is such a great thing for GA, but also for the vote purposes, they wanted to ensure everybody could be there.
We're going to have a discussion of what they're going to, how our delegates are going to vote.
I believe that was discussed at the annual meeting.
Right.
Yes. All right, at this time we are going to do our offering and meditation. So, Nancy, I'll do the offering and then you have to play the meditation.
Since then, looking at time, would it be, because that's a 10-minute piece I'm going to play.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Maybe I could do it after service
and okay.
Continue on.
Perfect, we can do that. Okay, for our offering part then, whether in community with others or as an individual, we know that active, tangible expressions of love and justice are what make a difference. Members and friends, please consider giving to the church through the donations link found through the QR code on the back of your bulletin. Each month, our congregation also chooses a local nonprofit to support with our offering. This month, our nonprofit is Family Promise of Hendricks County, who is transforming the lives of those struggling in Hendricks County by providing emergency and permanent housing, homelessness prevention, and stability services. Any cash offerings collected in the plates at the back or side of the sanctuary will be given to Family Promise of Hendricks County. If you give a check offering, please note if it is for the church or for the nonprofit. Also, please remember that we do collect food donations for the Shared Blessings Food Pantry, which is operated out of the Danville United Methodist Church. As you are able, please consider bringing in non-perishable items and placing them in our collection bin. Julian's got it for us. Once a month, we deliver these items to that food pantry for them to be open and of use to our neighbors. Thank you, Julian, for yielding the heavy and unwieldy cart. At this time, then, I'm going to invite all members, friends, and guests to share joys and concerns with us. Sharing important events and happenings in our lives strengthens community, and it offers support to one another.
If you'd like to, please come forward, take the microphone, state your name, and share by placing a stone here in the water. All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and for the last part of our service today, we are going to hold a bridging ceremony. I know there is at least one person out there who is going, "What the heck is a bridging ceremony?" And you are not alone, because before I came to this church, I had never heard of a bridging ceremony. Many religions have some sort of ceremonial marker of adulthood. Some of those are things that happen at the age of 13. Some of those are things that happen at the age of 16, some at 18, some at 22. Some of them don't have a specific age that they happen at. In the Unitarian Universalist Church, there is something called bridging. There is not a specific age that it has to happen. There is not a specific religious ceremony. There are many resources that many churches and many communities may use for it. But the ultimate consensus is sometimes our children grow up, and sometimes a congregation may want to mark that that has happened. Very UU of them not to give us a specific ceremony at a specific time that we could use. What this does mean is that a bridging ceremony can literally be anything that you want it to be. They are often very youth-driven. You may recall a few years ago we had a youth-driven ceremony that celebrated several of our youth who were going from high school to college that year. And it's been a little bit since we've had a youth who is doing that same thing. When we talked together, Aiden and I, about the bridging ceremony, I actually think he kind of wanted me to be like, "Oh, you just go up there and say this or do this and then you're done." And unfortunately, I couldn't. I was like, "What do you want to do?" And after he stared at me for, I think, a full minute straight, he landed on a few minutes that he would talk and some pictures that he would share to reflect a little bit on the journey here. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Aiden up to share with you for his bridging ceremony. At the end of the bridging ceremony, the closing words that are in here would like to encourage you guys, and I'll come up to lead them for us to say them together. And that will mark off the bridging of Aiden as he embarks from this church, but is always welcome to return. So Aiden, come on up.
Papers right here.
Your papers are from back. Gotcha. Julian, I think I killed your computer.
Did you open it?
I did open it.
Did you turn it on? Not the monitor, the computer. Not that. Step one, step two, step three, step four.
He went all the way to sleep
because
I talked to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it comes.
Okay. We might have to pull back up the deck. While we're pulling up the deck, I will tell everybody I did print out a blessing for bridging, and I'm going to pull it out with the markers here after service if anybody wants to write any encouraging words or signs. And I will pull this back.
Just press OK.
Okay.
There we go.
Now we are from here. Go ahead.
All right. So, as many as you, you're really short, so I have to.
Sorry.
Okay. As many of you know, my name's Aiden Brake, and my mom and I, around 8 years ago, started coming to this church, so quite a while. And in those 8 years, I've made some wonderful memories with many people here. In my first couple of services, I really wasn't sure what I was getting into, and all I knew is that my mom was going, so she was kind of just dragging me along. And as I grew up through the church, it kind of was a go watch your siblings in the play area, and Natalie's going to come pay attention, but luckily my dad's here now, so he can do that for me. So occasionally, I'd have a small job, like ringing the bell, or reading a small paper, lighting the chalice. And while it was fun, I wasn't really involved, or I didn't really think much of the church. I just knew that I was doing this because my mom was telling me. And it was more of a playtime. I would go over there and color. But as I went into my teen years, I joined RE, and there I felt a really strong connection with this church. And it wasn't really playtime anymore, but I was still having a lot of fun and exploring about myself. It really helped me mature and discover new things about religion, both UU and other religions. And as I was the youngest one in the group, I still felt very welcome, and everybody treated me with just respect, and I knew that my opinions mattered. No one told me that I had to believe a certain thing or think a certain way. You guys were more interested in letting me tell you how I feel about my religion and myself. Second slide. So, as I grew up and started doing that, we started getting into more family sessions, especially in the pandemic. That slide on the left, when we couldn't really meet in person because of the pandemic, we did family activities at home. And I started doing service leadership, where I would come up and talk, sometimes not very well. I'm not the greatest at talking. But I tried my best, and you all listened. And it was really, really hard, but thank you for being encouraging. So, off of that encouragement, I felt comfortable enough to be the speaker for two services here. And in those two services, one of them I talked about my YMCA Youth and Government program and told you about my bills and why I chose those certain causes. Around the same time I was doing RE and being a service leader, I started getting really involved with high school band. And I used music to connect my emotions and express them in different ways. In my early years of playing, if you want to show them, luckily, Julian, we could not figure out the tech problems for this, but this is a video of me and Julian playing Baby Shark for the church around 5 years ago. So
you can imagine what that sounds
like. Yeah.
And thank goodness you don't have to hear it.
Yeah. So while it wasn't that good, it was a way of connecting my life to the church. And music has remained an important part of my life. In my high school career, we've had some crazy accomplishments. We've won 8 state championships, 4 world championships, and 1 grand national championships, and have been runner-up to many of those titles many, many, many times.
Yes.
Thank you. So, with doing that, it took up a lot of my time, and I started stepping away from being in the church and doing stuff to pursue band. Then I got a job to help pay for things because band can be really, really expensive sometimes. And I've been scheduled most Sundays for the job, actually, right after this. I won't be sticking around because I'm going to go to work until 10 o'clock tonight. So exciting stuff. And even though I wasn't here that often, I still felt very welcome, and I could come here whenever I wanted. And you guys still ask me about music, school, and show interest in me. And I know that as I begin DCI again in these few days, in a few days, where I'm traveling the country all summer, or college classes this coming fall, where I'll be continuing my academic journey, my time will be focused on these things. And as I go, I'll be taking with me some memories I've spent here, and I'm very grateful for what you guys have done for me. Just as a reflection, you guys have asked me questions, listened to my stories, and listened to my joys and concerns about every Sunday I come, and I've spoken a lot here, and I'm really grateful for you guys listening. And I'll still stop as many Sundays as I can, but just so you guys know, I won't be much. So I wanted to end my bridging today with a little clip from our Wind Symphony this year, and I'm going to show it to you for 2 reasons. Well, luckily, one of the reasons no longer happened, but one, because I can't leave you with the Baby Shark video stuck in your head, and 2, because this song has a very special meaning to me. So this is an excerpt from David Mislanka's Symphony 4, and we call it Old Hundredth. And we use this song at Avon to kind of honor the seniors and for what they've done for the program, what the program has done for them, and to kind of move them on to their next steps of life. So when I think about my life, I think in music. And this piece allows me to reflect on my journey and anticipate what's going to come and the work it's going to take. So I hope it inspires you as well. And due to some technical difficulties, we're going to have a very whack setup. I'm just going to play it on the microphone. It's about a minute long.
Would then, if you care to rise in body or spirit and join me together in our closing words. To Aiden today for his bridging ceremony. We are never complete. We are never finished. We are always yet to be. May we always allow others to be and help and enable each other to grow towards all that we are capable of becoming.
Go in peace.